Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Being a parent can be really challenging. Child and Family Resource Network focuses on connecting pregnant parents and those with kids under the age of 5 with free support services to help them on their parenting journey. Everyone deserves someone they can turn to for help with parenting. Visit childandfamilyresourcenetwork.org today.
This show is part of the Head Stuff Podcast Network.
Hi, I'm Niamh Kavanagh.
And I'm Gerard Farrelly.
And you're listening to
Agony Rants. Hello.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm feeling good, actually. I'm feeling much brighter.
Oh, I know. It's lovely to see you.
It's always lovely to see you.
We've had lovely brownies this morning.
We did. We did eat some. But then it's, you know, a brownie is very rarely far away.
Listen, wherever two or more of us meet.
We will sometimes make do with a pan au chocolat.
Yeah. Do you know what? There's an awful lot to be said. There's nothing like a decent pan au chocolat before 9 o'clock in the morning with a good cup of coffee.
Now, the question is, the big ones or the little ones you can get in, you know, like in hotels where you get the little bijou ones?
No, do you know what? I'm not a fan of the ones that sweat.
What?
You know, like sometimes to get pastry and it's kind of like you pick it up and it's kind of...
Sweaty?
Sweaty. It's like a damp.
Oh.
Do you know what I mean?
Where are you having pastries?
It's always those hotel breakfasts. I think it's because they're warm or something. No, actually, do you know what? I'm really giving that too much credit. They're not warm.
No.
Like, they were pulled out of a crate. Like.
Well, they might bake them in-house.
Yeah, but they were made 6 months ago in Beirut.
Oh, no.
They came over as part of a people trafficking operation.
Don't take the joy out of mini pastries.
I have to say, do you know what? I'm over, right?
What are you over?
I'm over hotel breakfast.
Just the one thing. Hotel breakfast, what part of it? You know, I kind of get it. You know,
everything. There's very little difference between a good hotel and a bad hotel breakfast-wise. The breakfast is pretty much slapped together.
Well, it's not. It's just it quite often sits. You know, if you go somewhere where they take your order, like, so if you order, there's some very posh hotels, which I've stayed in occasionally, and you can order Eggs Benedict. And when that comes out, like, that's like pristine.
Yeah,
like,
but when they go up, when they hand you a plate and say, go up to the trough there.
You know you're not getting a runny yolk anyway.
And do you know what I'm very particular about as well with regard to fries?
Beans.
I really like beans.
Yeah, me too.
But I can't have them touching anything else.
You want them in a little ramekin.
I want them in a little ramekin. And I don't think that's too much to ask for.
No, I think you should just bring one with you.
That's a great idea. Do you know what I did last time? And a woman looked at me like, I almost said something. She looked at me, she was very condescending.
Oh, was she?
There wasn't the option.
To put it in a ramekin.
To have the beans separate. So right. I put them in a teacup.
That's not wrong.
That was fair enough. Thank you very much.
Listen, the way some people...
This old bastard of a woman's in behind me glaring at me. I love it in a hotel, you know, like where there is a spa in a hotel.
Yeah.
And you see those women wandering around that they've clearly just been pummeled.
Oh, yeah.
Like, and they're always wearing a bathrobe and the hair is slicked back and they're just zen. Their feet aren't even moving. They're just gliding back to wherever they're going.
Well, that was me the entire time I was in the Mart.
I actually stayed in a hotel there recently, right? And it was a very nice hotel. Mm. No bath.
Yeah, but quite a lot of them don't have
in
now.
A fancy hotel.
They kind of have a shower, a good shower.
Break.
I know.
You can't use a Lush bath bomb in a shower.
Do you bring them with you?
Yeah. I have a brilliant one.
Wow.
Yeah. You just like fling it in and the whole thing goes like Lucozade.
Oh, fizzy. Yeah. You want a fizzy bath?
Yeah. And you smell of orange. It's bad.
Oh.
Yeah,
is it sticky? It's not sticky.
No, I can't be dealing with that.
But sometimes those bath bombs, did we not talk about bath bombs before?
Maybe.
Well,
I mean, I have an awful lot to say about them. I don't think that should preclude us from this conversation.
You're right. I'm right in there. The thing is, sometimes you come out and you think, is it chalk? I don't know what. It depends on the bath bomb, I suppose. Is it?
I mean, if you're buying your bath bomb in deals, it's...
Says you, who buys your strawberries and cream.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, shower gel, no problem.
You didn't want any judgment for that.
I wouldn't steep in it.
Well...
If you're steeping anything in there now.
You know, we took...
I have to say, I admire the confidence of people that buy their contraception in deals.
Oh, maybe they put a few bob on the horses as well. But a good few years ago, we were doing a bathroom up and I said, we'll just put in a really good shower because the boys were coming into that teen stage where encouragement to get in the shower was a good thing. What's happened is, and I loved a bath. Oh my God.
I loved a bath.
I've forgotten how to be in a bath.
I think that's attention span. I think our attention spans are all a lot shorter. So what you do is, right, I set up for a bath. I spend ages, you know, like the water scene. Yeah. I'll make sure the bathroom's nice and clean. I'll lower the lights.
Yeah, you got the whole enchilada.
Bath bomb in, you know.
And then you get in.
Pour gin and tonic even. Mm. Fancy gin and tonic. iPad, have something to watch.
Lovely.
Hit play, get into the bath. Five minutes later, I'm like, well, kind of done. I think I've worked out why this happens to me. And that is because I do so much pre-bath work that by the time you're going to get into the bath, you're like, I'm kind of on a roll. I could get the kitchen done. do the dishwasher.
Pre-bath.
No, but you know, clean the bathroom, get the towels, you know, change the bath mat, you know, all of that sort of stuff. That you kind of, you're on a roll then.
Yeah.
Like, geez, maybe I'll change the duvet while I'm at it. This episode's about lies.
Oh, okay.
We are 13 minutes in.
We haven't mentioned. Have you told one lie yet?
I'm really bad at lies. Oh. I can't do them. Now, don't get me wrong, I'll try.
You give it a good go.
Absolutely. Is that dinner lovely? It's gorgeous.
Oh, amazing.
Oh, I can't wait to see what
you've... No game face.
Can't wait to see what animal you slaughtered for the dessert. Oh. I will attempt to lie, but I'm very bad.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah, it's my neck.
It's your neck?
Yeah.
What about your neck?
My neck goes red and I stick... And what happens is, I've seen myself do it. I've watched it. I stick my chin out a bit.
Oh.
I'm like, oh, I'm lying now.
I've got to be watching that now. Sorry.
I'd love to be better at lying, right? Because these people who go through their whole lives, you know, like these serial killers and, you know... they tell lies all the time.
Okay, yeah.
And they're just, it's no problem to them. I remember, I told lies when I was a kid. I can still remember lies I would have told when I was a kid.
Oh, me too.
And still, they are burned into my brain. You told a lie, and at some point, you're going to have to come clean now for it.
Oh, you weren't even caught out.
No.
Oh,
no,
so
I don't have to be caught out to feel guilty about it.
So, but why would you think that you were a bad liar then? You must be a good liar if you weren't caught out.
Oh, as a kid, I was brilliant.
Okay.
I was a kid, I was absolutely brilliant. Do you know why? Because I was one of those kids that was creepily intense. So I was very...
Just as a child.
Yeah, I could have been in Sixth Sense or something like that. I was a very creepy child. But what I used to do was, any interaction I ever had with an adult, I would look them right in the eye.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Slightly disconcerting.
Yeah. So like people were unnerved anyway when they spoke to me. So lies, they didn't mind if I was lying. They were just glad it was over.
But I was a terrible liar too when I was young. I get caught. Right, because that's...
Yeah.
How do you react,
though, when you're caught?
Depends.
Do you double down? Like, I don't know any other way.
Oh. No, do you know what? Sometimes I admire people who can just laugh it off when they get caught. They don't seem to be... I die 1,000 deaths if I get caught. And actually, the chances are if I'm lying in the first place, I'm in a very dark place because I can't... I just can't lie. Let me tell you, right? I'll tell you a really funny story about subterfuge, right? When I was young.
Subterfuge?
You know, I thought I was being really super clever. So I told my mum, I used to be in the choir in school, right?
Okay.
And it won't surprise you to know that I was in the special choir, which means we did all the, you know, the special stuff. There was like...
Oh!
And after school. So,
I thought you meant the whole load of town deaf kids.
No.
It's just like me. This is a revelation.
Heartbroken. No, no. It was called the special choir, but basically what it was, you went after school and then you did
the exceptional choir.
The exceptional choir. Okay. Oh, I like that better, actually, the exceptional. Mm. Special does have a different connotation, doesn't it, really? Anyway, so I was in that choir and we used to rehearse after school, maybe Tuesdays and Thursdays, I think, or something like that, anyway. And this day, about fifth year, I think, that I decided I'd like to meet this fella I'd met at a disco. And he was very exotic. Like he had a Canadian accent and he was, he was high quality kind of, you know, crushed material at that age.
Okay.
Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, totally. 100%.
Anyway, so yeah, it was him, right? And so he agreed, he was finished school early, so he said he would come and meet me. And so I told my mum that I was going to special choir, right? Anyway, so me and this gentleman were having a little chat and perhaps a small amount of snogging, as we would have had back then.
Okay.
And one of the nuns found us, right? And we were marched off to...
Sister contraception.
Sister contraception took exception. And so I sheepishly walked home after that. And, you know, I used to have to walk from Cabra to Finglas, so it was quite a walk.
Yeah.
And so when by the time I got home, my mother was standing in the door. Clearly, she'd had a phone call from the nun, right? And I kid you not, they basically told her that I was fornicating in the fields.
Fornicating in the fields.
I was in so much trouble, it wasn't even funny. I got suspended for 2.5 days. I mean, to be fair,
two and a half days.
I know. No, no. You see,
happily did.
No, no. I was delighted. My cred went up in the school big time.
Oh, like, of course it did.
And considering I used to sing for old nuns' funerals, that was quite a thing. But actually, yeah, I got suspended for 2.5 days. Had it the previous principal, like, if she'd still been in, they would never found my body, like, because she was tough. But, you know, the new one, she read a passage out of the Bible and told me to mend my ways.
She read a Bible passage to you?
Uh-huh. That was the only thing I got. Yeah.
Oh my God.
I know. It was probably about some sort of wanton woman or some such a thing. I don't know. But anyway, so
that was the one time you told a big lie.
Yeah. So I've never been very good at it ever since, honestly.
And what happened to the Canadian?
Well, I don't know. I suppose he went back home. I don't know. I don't know.
Do we know his name? I mean, you know me in an insta deep dive.
No. I'll tell you later.
Okay. All right, we're going to find him. I'll post pictures.
You're going to find him.
What I'll do is, listen, I'll just repost everything to my stories. Like,
the only thing I would say, you know, he sometimes, you know, those really good looking younger boys, sometimes they don't age well.
They don't.
They lose the hair.
You know, he'd
the real blue eyes. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Sometimes
they don't. Do you know what it is though? Because I think you get one shot. This is my theory.
One shot at what?
Yeah. I don't think you are consistently handsome your whole life.
Okay.
I think
there's a moment where you peak.
Yeah, I think you peak. Okay. And I think what's important is that you're aware
of when that is.
Of when that is.
And use that opportunity.
Yeah.
To nail it down.
I think that everyone has that opportunity. You just have to know when it is.
And if you miss it.
And the problem is that people, if you miss it, that's quite unfortunate. Because like if you're overcautious, you can be like, I think it's now. And then you realize, oh no, it was back then.
Okay.
Like that's unfortunate.
Yeah, it is.
That is unfortunate.
It is. I once had a fridge magnet that my friend of mine bought me, which I still wonder why she did. But she says, you know, men are like chocolates. If you wait too long, you only have the weird ones nobody else wants.
I think that the best lie I was ever told, I was thinking about this, was, I remember years ago, we were very young, and my mom, I think she was going out somewhere. I think she was going somewhere for a night or something.
Okay.
So my dad was, she was probably having a baby, actually. That's all my memories of mammy being away are always like, no, she was having a baby. Mammy's gone on a holiday. No,
was that the only time you let her out of the house?
I think that, yeah. I mean, I think like if you were to say to her, like she was saying, the only time I ever got peace, I was in labor.
Oh my God.
I remember my mum must have been in hospital and we got chipper.
Oh.
Right? I remember at one point my sister asked, what's your belly button for? And I thought, now she's younger than me.
So that's a class question.
Yeah, and I thought, great question.
I know.
Fantastic. Never thought to ask.
Conversation
starter. I'd love to know. Love to know. Yeah. And my dad just looked and went,
this is my worst life.
I am not getting into this. And what he told us was that it was where you put the ketchup when you were eating chips. Which I thought
makes sense.
That makes total sense.
Does it though? You have to be lying down eating your chips. Like, what if it falls out? Well, how big is your belly button?
Well, I mean, you were all innies. So, like, I mean, if one of us was an outie, it would have been a bit.
What do
we do with this? What, you put your rings on it. But my mom came home and our new thing was we would spray ketchup into our belly buttons and dip chips in. And she was just like,
did she call child services? Because I would have called child services.
Yeah, my mom was just like, we're putting an end to this. Right now. I'm taking control before anyone gets curry sauce and scalds themselves. But I just thought that was genius. I thought it was an absolute. I think that the lies that parents have to tell their children. I mean, what we'll do is we're going to put a trigger warning here because we're going to talk about a lie that.
The big lie.
Parents have to tell their children. Yeah. So if there's any children in listening.
Yeah, move them out of the room.
Move them out of the room. So, we're taking it from now. Kids are out of the room.
Okay.
The whole family thing, right?
Yeah.
That is a minefield.
It
right?
is.
That is an absolute minefield. I remember, right, years ago when I was, I think I would have been in sixth. I was probably fifth class, actually. And it was coming up to Christmas.
Okay.
And I was a bit inquisitive. And my mother thought.
About Santi.
Yeah.
Santi.
And my mother was like, she knew what I was like. As soon as I knew something, I told everyone.
Okay.
So she was like.
She had to get hedge off the pass.
We have to get Christmas out of the way here.
Okay, we've got to hedge off the pass.
Yeah, exactly. So what she did was she told me a Christmas story, right? All about Christmas, about Santa Claus, the whole thing. And it was absolutely magical and amazing. And I left that conversation being like, oh.
Nothing sure.
There's nothing sure. Of course he exists.
Yes,
of
that's
course.
It.
And what had been happening was other boys in school have been telling me this.
Of course. Because that's when it happens. But actually, I was just probably like, earlier.
No. They're all idiots. They're idiots.
Yeah.
Oh, look. Oh, the magic of Christmas. But what happened was, right? Uh-huh. The following year was I was still enthralled in the magic of Christmas. Right?
And
I
would have been had to tell
going
you.
To secondary school. And she was just like,
can't be having that.
We can't do this.
No.
So my dad was tasked with telling me. And to this day.
Did he steal your dream?
He says it was the most traumatic thing he has ever done.
It's terrible.
Because I did not make it easy.
No.
I was just like, but the magic of Christmas. And he makes the toys in the North Pole. And is the sleigh real? And what's, like, it was just.
What are you telling me here?
He didn't get to shatter my dreams. He got like a hammer and a chisel and he had to peck away at them for about 3 hours. And afterwards, he apparently told my mother, he was like, I'm never doing that again.
The birds and the bees are yours.
Yeah. No, he would have done that no problem. But this, never again. See, I was a pragmatist as well.
Yeah.
And this is the bit that really annoyed my mother. Because one Christmas, we were all sitting, we'd all just got all our Santa presents, we were all thrilled. And I was sitting there and then I looked at my parents and went, why do you never get us anything?
I think I definitely had that conversation.
And my mom was just like, oh.
Kill him.
And then for like every year after that, we got a little present under the tree. Attention Agony Rants listeners, I am going to be going on tour later on in the year and early next year with my show Glamour Hammer, and I will be going all around Ireland and the UK. The dates on sale at the moment are Portlaoise, Dundalk, Limerick, which is sold out, Galway, Belfast, Clonakilty, Waterford, Wexford, Sligo, Cork. I'll be at the Everyman in January, My Liberty Hall shows are sold out, but we've just put on at Vicar Street, which is very much not sold out. So,
not just yet.
So come along, we'd love to see you there.
How do I get tickets, Gary?
You can get tickets, Niamh, by asking me.
I know.
But all of those other people, they can buy them on GareffBarley.com. We thought it would be great to hear about your lies because it's just phenomenal what people will tell each other.
Oh, yeah.
We had a big response and we're going to read you some of them.
We really did.
Linda Nivreen. Oh, no, shit. Was I not supposed to say her name? I mean, probably, but I'm like,
no, I think it's okay.
Oh, no, this one's okay. Okay, no, okay. Okay, we can say her name.
It's okay.
Oh, okay. Biggest lie. When I first started dating my now husband, I wasn't long back from having lived in Boston for almost 3 years. He didn't want to be bested and told me he'd been to NYC a few times. Fast forward about 2 years into our relationship and we went on holiday to Florida and we were in immigration and they asked him if he'd ever been to the States before, to which he answered, no.
Ah, he lied to her.
I said, you told me you've been to NYC and he answered, yeah, well, I was trying to impress you, wasn't I? Oh my God.
I quite like him.
How did it never come up again? You've been catfished, Linda.
Yeah, I know, definitely. And you know, what else has he lied about?
Oh my God.
Not that I want to plant that seed.
Look at the chink in the armor here.
That's what I'd be thinking.
Oh my God. See, he must be a good liar then.
Oh gosh.
I'm so impressed by people that can lie well. I'm trying to think. There have been situations where I've just brazened it,
really?
but I've always brazened it in a way that I was kind of like, oh, I know they know I'm lying, so I'm just going to get through it. But then maybe they don't know.
No,
there's a whole world of catfishing opening up to me here that I might just have a crack.
So I have a little one here I came across, which is I thought was really funny. My dad always said that animals on the side of the road were just taking a nap because the road was really warm.
So grim.
No, but you know, dressing up the roadkill.
We did get the whole gone to live on a farm a couple of times.
Oh yeah. You always have to tell her.
Yeah.
No child needs to be dealing with death. Now that I think about it, both my boys were there when my previous dog had to go to sleep.
Oh.
I know. They said they'd never do it again. Did you ever replace a pet? You know, did you ever get a pet replaced to pretend it's the same one?
No. No. As in you're minding a pet and you buy another one?
No. I know people who have gone out and tried to pass that goldfish off as the goldfish that used to be there. Right? And you're going, what?
Well, but a goldfish
he'd be
is
devastated.
It's not like, you know, but it's not
it's
like
it's a goldfish, they die every 5 minutes.
But it's not like the kid is gonna go, oh, but he's got a completely different personality. No. Sharon got in touch and she said, my friend's dad told her when she was a kid that when the ice cream van played music, it meant the ice cream had run out.
Oh, I've heard that one before. Yeah. I tell you, a lot of parents
and
use
that works.
One. Yeah, it really does. It really, really does. Here's another one. When I was a kid, my parents told me if I pressed the reset button on a plug, the house would explode.
The reset button on
the plug, you know, like, you know, the way there's like reset buttons on power outlets around.
Oh,
there.
Yeah. Oh my God.
I know. You'd be a bit traumatized by that. Jeez, parents are horrible.
Anything. Do you remember there was the button in the fridge?
Oh,
if you press the defrost button.
Oh, the defrost button. Listen, as a mother who lives in dread of that.
Not.
Did you ever?
I did. I pressed it once. Yeah.
Why? Because it was there.
Because I was like, I didn't know anything about it. And I was told, I was given a lecture about, hey, I should never press this button. I was like, well, I mean,
I'm going to do it now.
Absolutely no question about what I'm going to do next. Like, yeah, everyone has brought this on themselves. Says, a big owl lie. Please don't use my real name.
Okay, we can't.
We'll beep that.
Okay. You're a disaster.
Oh my God.
You need to read these before you
go. Yeah, I know. You know, see, what I do is when they send them on Instagram, I copy them.
I know.
For the names at the top. Anyway.
He really does.
I heard men should get a haircut about 2 to 4 weeks before their wedding and told my husband to be. He got it done about 6 weeks before and by the time the day was on the doorstep, he'd a fairly furry neck and Albert Einstein long bits on the side. All through lockdown, I shaved his hair and neck with the hair clippers. Now, I have to say, that's...
I love the vomiting emoji.
Are, yeah, relationships are not built to survive cutting
well, each
other's
hair.
Well,
she married him anyway, so there you go.
And it all came out grand. So he said, here, will you do my neck and trim down the sides? He put on the blade and sure enough, the first run through it with the hair clipper, a deep chunk of hair came away. Oh, I mean deep. Oh, no.
Oh, no.
No. You could see a patch of scalp in his dark brown hair.
Oh, God.
Oh, no. I started crying, given I'd made a total bald of his hair 27 hours before our wedding. Oh, good
no.
God. He thought I was joking. I told him to go to the hairdresser ASAP, but begged him not to say it was me that did it. Oh. He went to his usual hairdresser and he said he needed it sorted because he had a wedding to go to. She asked if he was going to my wedding. Not knowing he was the groom, mm-hmm. she vaguely knows me, but she wouldn't know he's my fiancé. He said, nope, he doesn't know me and it was a different wedding. It took a bit of work to sort it and he sprayed the gap, the gaping scalp hole with one of those grey cover-up sprays and it looked grand on the day. I've always wondered what the hairdresser thought when she saw mutual friends' social media pics of our wedding and the lad who came
claimed
he'd never heard of the bride.
Well, that's as he was only doing what she asked him.
That hairdresser, because she's a hairdresser,
right,
is telling that story
every
to
day.
Absolutely everybody. And he is cheating on you. That's what she's saying. He's like, he's still playing the lad game. He's pretending he's not married, pretending he's never heard of the woman he's married to.
We're stopping for a moment to remind you that we are part of the Head Stuff Podcast Network. If you would like to support the show, you can pledge as little as €5 a month. And in return, you will get bonus content from us and from all of the shows on the Head Stuff Podcast Network, including this one. The show we are cross-promoting this week is Double Love. If you have ever read the Sweet Valley High books, this is the podcast for you. It is hosted by Anna and Karen, and it is hilarious. Now, I've never read the Sweet Valley High books because I had boys. So, there'd be no... You know, A, it was the Beano, no, nothing.
And when you were a kid, of course, you didn't have time to read Sweet Valley High. You were too busy being the Shaka Khan of Glasnevin.
Listen to you!
This is how it's always been.
Double Love is a podcast in which we explore the strange and terrifying world of Sweet Valley High, book by book. Join me, Anna Carey.
And me, Karen Moynihan.
As we revisit one of the maddest series of books ever written, or ghostwritten.
If you ever read about Elizabeth and Jessica, the perfect blonde Wakefield twins, then you might enjoy listening to us absolutely tearing them to shreds. Affectionately, of course.
Of course. And even if you didn't, there's still plenty of drama, kidnapping, stolen boyfriends and school dances to entertain you.
Find us on the Head Stuff Podcast Network and wherever you get your podcasts.
We have problems.
Oh.
Okay.
I love a problem.
Niamh Garrod, I am loving the show and I think you are the people to help me with this problem. I work with an absolute cow and I'm about to rip her throat out.
Oh, so you
You're
come to the right place.
You're very welcome. You're very welcome.
Garrod is all over this.
I have been working for the same company for the last 6 years. I get on really well with everyone I work with and we see each other socially and buy each other's kids presents. It was all lovely until about 8 months ago a new manager was appointed to our section and she is a notorious bitch.
Mm.
I love it. She creates a horrible environment wherever she goes. She is cranky. She actually said that there was too much chat.
Oh.
She shushes us like we were at school. Our team is incredibly efficient and I think that bothers her. Even simple parts of her job, like approving holidays, she makes a big deal about and it's very stressful. That is incredibly stressful.
Mm.
It's like she has gone through us one by one to try and break us down. We have all been upset at various points and we don't know what to do. We had to stop someone walking out last week. What do you think we should do? I feel like I am coping with it better than the others. One guy is really not doing well. It's terrible. I know you will both have some great advice. Thanks, Sharon.
Oh, Sharon, we do.
This is the sort I cannot stand it. Because I've been in places like that where that's happened. Mm. Where you see there is this absolute rip working
yeah.
there.
Yeah, yeah.
And the thing about it is, right, There's two situations here, okay. Right? One, there is the situation where the company knows she's a rip.
Yeah. And they put her anywhere.
And decide not to do anything about it.
No.
Or two, they're actually quite happy she's a rip.
Okay.
In that, maybe she's in there to break up. Maybe she's in there to make people leave. Maybe there's, you know. Like, she doesn't give any clue as to what it is that she does, but she says that the team is incredibly efficient. And here's the thing, right?
Okay.
This is what I've always found with managers who are really pedantic and like she is described.
Yeah, the shushing thing, I hate that.
They're not that good at their job.
No, they're not.
They're good at the basics, which is having everybody look like they're doing a good job.
Talk's a good job.
Yeah.
Doesn't
it's these
do
people
it.
Who are project managers that then have to manage people.
Yeah.
And they just don't know how to do it without making everybody's life miserable.
No, I know. And it's so unnecessary, really,
it's
isn't
so
it?
It's so unnecessary.
I know. Well, I to be honest with you, I you came to the right place because Garode is your man for this kind of response. My job is to keep you out of prison.
Look, a prison term is a prison term. Prison ends. Apparently you get a telly in some prisons.
Yeah, you can.
Yeah, fantastic.
I don't know that
person. Get in there. Absolutely destroy her. Firstly, what I would do is, right... I have no sympathy for these people.
Okay.
I have absolutely none. Crush her, destroy her, ruin her life.
Okay.
Get rid. Everything changes right now, Sharon, right? Firstly, right, the first thing she's going to try and do is divide and conquer.
Yeah.
And that's what she's doing because you said there that she's trying to break it all down one by one.
Yeah.
She's trying to turn it against each other.
Don't be doing
what
that.
What to do is band together. Right? You all have to band together. Have meetings without her.
Can you do that though?
Yeah, totally.
Right, your job.
You can all.
Your boss.
You can all sit together very publicly at the lunch table.
Yeah. To be fair, it's a long time since I've worked in that environment.
Oh yeah, yeah. So yeah. I would just make sure she knows that you are all a united front.
Okay.
Right. I would also say if there are people genuinely being upset, HR.
Oh, I mean instantly.
Because immediately.
That's what they're there for.
Don't even give it a second thought. And do you know what? I know someone that had a situation like this recently, right?
Mm-hmm.
And he was just like, nah, enough is enough. I'm going. He went to HR. They were only too glad because they know they don't want their staff leaving.
No, they don't.
So they were only too glad to take
it. To address it.
Yeah. And the thing about it is, in situations like that, you have to remember, right? HR can't address anything. They can know what's going on. They can see what's going on.
But
they
unless
can see
it's a form of
by
a complaint.
People going on stress leave yeah. or people ringing in sick or by people leaving.
You have to make a formal complaint for them to actually deal with
they
it.
They have to have a complaint to deal with in order to be able to do something about it, right? So I would say absolutely do that. Now, I know that's very practical advice, right?
It's not your normal run.
Now we're going to get on to ruining our life. Right.
Okay. So you put in a snake where?
Slash her tires.
No! Don't do it!
Absolutely. Stop. Wipe the top of her sandwich around the toilet. enough is enough.
That's horrible.
No, you're not. Like, she is. You need to stop treating her as a person.
She is a person.
She's not a person. Nothing boils my piss more than when people are like, oh, a bully. Oh, that's just somebody that was bullied.
No.
I couldn't care less. The other person that you should have a conversation with is her.
Yeah. Yeah. Definitely.
Because
although that's hard.
Yeah, it is hard. But you know what? Why it's hard? It's hard because she's treating you like children.
And you're reacting.
And you're reacting to that and feeling like children. But you're not. You're all grown adults.
Yeah. I think to be fair, if somebody tried to shush me, they would get an eyebrow. Well, both eyebrows because I can only raise the two of them at the same time. But you know what I mean? Like, they would get a very direct response from me. I
Someone said shush to me. They'd get a paperweight through their monitor. <That's what
laughs> Nobody would ever say shush to you.
I swear to God.
Nobody.
I swear to God.
No.
I've been this situation
it's a
trigger is
thing.
Very
Listen, I've been in this situation years ago. And the truth is that you what they do then is quite often they put a difficult person in a space. Probably because you were such a good team, they probably thought that you might be able to absorb what's going on there and maybe even influence her. The thing is, you know, I had that one time on a team. I got two of the most difficult people to work with.
Yeah, yeah.
And I did my time and I went into management and then I said, right, I've done my time. If you don't remove me, somebody has a scissors in the back and I don't know who it's going to be.
So, ooh!
I know. You didn't know that about
me.
I mean, I didn't say it to them, but, you know, I said it to the management. So they made sure I was out.
Never underestimate the effect of being the crazy in the workplace.
No, you don't want to be the crazy.
No, you don't want to be the crazy. But there are people who behave a lot crazier than they actually are. And everyone goes, oh, don't ask them. Oh, God, no.
Oh, yeah.
Like, oh, no, no.
They get away
with
stuff.
Just leave them be. Leave them be.
Yeah, they get away with stuff.
Yeah, of course they do. Wow. So what I would say is, right?
Yeah.
Make it really clear. And somebody can do this. It doesn't have to be all of you.
No.
But just make it really clear that she's really disrupting a very efficient team.
Yeah.
Like, if you're efficient and you're getting the job done, I think that is what bothers her. Like, you say yourself, you think that's what bothers her. Because she can't have much impact.
No.
There's nothing she can bring to the table here to make the team better.
Well, she probably could if she wasn't such an idiot. You know, we've all worked with people like this and they're toxic. They are. And then the problem is everybody starts to doubt themselves. And that's horrible. You should never be made feel like that by people. I mean, there are still people who do it. Some people do it without knowing it. Some people have bad people skills, and that might be what's at the root of this. And if that's the case, then she needs help with that. But you know, the truth is, either way, I think HR will eventually have to be involved in this.
I am going to give very reasonable, very balanced advice here.
Oh,
right?
Dear.
The other thing I'm going to check with, right? Just check.
Okay.
Is if you are a group of people
who are very
that
tight,
all going on together, right? And you're very like, you're kind of a clique.
That's
the
hard.
The other side of it is, right, that can be quite difficult.
Yeah.
To get in. Like, you can see that group of people and go, I'm the manager, and you're like, well, I'm not going to penetrate that group and be friends the way they're friends.
And they can't, so because they're management.
Yeah. And so maybe the only way for me to control this group or to be part of this group is to, I guess, manage it closely.
Yeah.
So, you know, I'm just saying, have that in the back of your head. I'm not saying give her any benefit of the doubt here, but I'm just saying, you know yourself, are you one of those groups that it's hard to get in on?
Yeah. Like, and if you've been together a long time, it sounds like you've been together as a group. So sometimes that can be a kind of a thing, you know. And also, if you knew she was a notorious bitch, the anticipation of it, sometimes you're already hostile because, or maybe hostile is not the right word. It's probably a bit strong, but you know what I mean? You're already in anticipation of it.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And
you know,
fear,
so there's that
awful
element, you know. So, I mean, I'm not saying that this isn't a legitimate thing, because it definitely looks like it.
And sometimes what happens is that people, especially in those big organizations, they get really good at their job. And in order to be promoted, they have to become people managers.
Oh, and it's so hard.
And they're just no good at managing people.
Like. No, it's not their thing. Yeah. No. And not everybody's good at it.
No, not at all.
You know, so,
I would say that you've got strength in numbers. And I have said, I do remember what it was like. Like, I remember I had this manager, and I remember
it's horrible.
The feeling when, even when they were coming back from holidays,
no,
you know, they'd been gone for
awful
2 weeks. And you're just like, oh, good God, how
awful
are we going to get through this?
I know. Mostly when I came across that, if I couldn't manage it, I left.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah.
And I'm not suggesting that's the answer, but I mean, if you don't get resolutions elsewhere, you need to look at that, because there's nothing worth in this world. There is nothing worth than losing yourself. So,
oh, yeah, completely. But what I will say, practical things, right?
Oh, right, okay.
United Front.
Yeah, United Front.
You're
first.
All on the same page. HR.
Yeah.
If there's actual bullying going on, keep a diary.
Oh, 1,000,000%.
Wreck her car.
For a minute there, I thought I had a positive impact
all
on you.
All the tires.
No.
Smash the sunroof, burn it out.
But we don't want to lose that part of you.
What part of me?
You know, the bit that wants to slash the tires.
Absolutely not. No, it's my favourite bit.
I mean, to be fair, I've never seen him do it.
Also, do you know what to do? The other thing to do.
What?
This is a great one.
Okay.
When she's, if she's dressing somebody down or something like that, burst into tears.
What?
Burst into tears.
Why?
Sob the
Why?
Loudest you possibly can.
Why?
To upset her.
You think that somebody who would want to do that would be upset by that?
They would, because do you know what it is? Those people can deal with somebody coming back to them.
Yeah.
But what they can't deal with is having their face pushed up against the window of another person's fragility.
Oh. Sharon.
Ball your eyes out.
Sharon, I want to thank you for that problem, because quite frankly, I never thought I'd hear that sentence out of Grode's mouth.
There you go. Kidnap our kids. Then you'll see a bit of emotion on the bitch's face.
Oh my God. Anyway, try not to get into prison over this. You know, take some of Grode's advice, not all of it. I know you'll be sensible enough to take the right ones. Well, mind yourself, dear.
Wonderful.
It is. And I hope I'll see you soon.
Chat to you soon. Bye.
This show is part of the Head Stuff Podcast Network, a hub for the creative and the curious. Shows are produced in association with Head Stuff and the Podcast Studios Dublin. Find out more or become a member at headstuffpodcasts.com.
Being a parent can be really challenging. Child and Family Resource Network focuses on connecting pregnant parents and those with kids under the age of 5 with free support services to help them on their parenting journey. Everyone deserves someone they can turn to for help with parenting. Visit childandfamilyresourcenetwork.org today. Being a parent can be really challenging. It's normal to feel uncertain about whether you're doing the right things to raise healthy and happy children. That's why Child and Family Resource Network focuses on connecting pregnant parents and those with kids under the age of 5 with free support services to help them build confidence in their parenting journey. Everyone deserves to have someone they can turn to for support with parenting. Visit childandfamilyresourcenetwork.org today.